So we're going to focus on Yom Kippur. You're like, well, that makes sense. We throw around a lot of words in the spiritual kingdom, and we act like we truly understand them. Like peace. Do we? Take a moment and think about this. Do you really understand peace? Faith? Hope? Do we truly understand what it means to be atoned for? Yeah, we can. Oh, that means redeemed. Okay, what does redeemed mean? You'll find, you'll answer it with another big religious word, and that will answer another big religious word, and then you'll sit back going, well, I don't totally know. I know I need a covering. So we're going to try and cover it today. And I want you to think about atonement today in regard to a puzzle. Now the reality is when we focus on one piece of that puzzle, we have no idea what it means. Just like our life, quite often we have no perspective to really understand what Yahweh's doing in our life compared to the entire world that He has His hands on. So what we're going to do today is take just some of the pieces in His Scripture that deal with atonement and put the pieces together, okay? You'd be like, what does this have to do with it? And sometimes we're like, how does that connect to that? Trust me, we'll get there, but it's going to take piece by piece for us to get a better understanding, okay? So let's start off with the word for atonement, which is kafar. Now, this isn't going to help you very much. The word means to cover, to purge, to make atonement. Usually you don't like a word where they use the word in the definition. Because you're like, no, wait a minute, I'm trying to understand the word atonement, and you're telling me that it means atonement. It doesn't help. It means to make reconciliation. That means that there's a problem between you and someone else, and you're trying to fix that problem. It means to cover over with pitch. Now, I put that in red because you're like, that, it's one of those, it doesn't fit all the other words. What do you mean, cover over with pitch? Well, you might be surprised to find out that the first time atonement, the word in Hebrew, is mentioned is in Genesis, dealing with Noah. Genesis 6, 13 and 14 says this, and Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make myself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. The word there would be to atone for it on the inside and on the outside. Now, what I find intriguing is that Yeshua talks about the Pharisees specifically, that they wash, whitewash the outside, but they are dead bones on the inside. So what's intriguing is that the covering has to be on the outside and on the inside. It's not just one. But I think this is a good picture because think of this pitch as black tar. Sticky. And if I were to come up here and start to paint the screen, it would consume the screen. You wouldn't see the screen anymore, not the white of the screen. All you would see would be the black. The ark, would you see the wood anymore? No, you would not see the wood anymore. You would see just the tar. It was completely covered. Now, what's intriguing is that we have another time where it says on the inside and outside, and that's spoken of the Ark of the Covenant, but this time it's covered with gold. I want you to connect this to Jeremiah. That's 18:23. I want you to listen to this. Yet Yahweh, you know all their counsel, which is against me, to slay me, provide no atonement for their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight, but let them be overthrown before you. Deal thus with them in the time of your anger. Now, here's what's intriguing. In this scripture, provide no covering is connected to what? Blotting out sin. Let's define blotting. You take a pen, back then black ink, and you start to blot, and the ink comes out to a point that the ink starts to smudge, and then you can't see what's written anymore. So what we see here is that a covering provided is actually the reality of blotting. Remember, even the tar on the ark was a dark black covering. You could not see the wood anymore. This is blotting out. In this regard, blotting out the sin. Hold on to that. Deuteronomy 29:19-20. And so it may not happen, when he hears the words of this curse, that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. As though the drunkard would be included with the sober, Yahweh would not spare him, for then the anger of Yahweh and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that's written in this book would settle on him, and Yahweh would blot out his name from under heaven. Now, I've told you the Yahweh is consistent. He likes to blot. You know what? He either is going to blot out your sin, or he's going to blot out your name, like your name never existed. Let's look at Exodus 32:30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you've committed a great sin. So now I will go up to Yahweh. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Now what did they do? They made a golden calf. Now what's intriguing in that is, guess what? Do you know what the priest had to offer at the Day of Atonement to make atonement for his soul? A calf, a cow, a bull. What's intriguing is that they're actually worshiping sort of the thing, and then Moses goes, well, I actually now have to go up as your priest to make atonement for you. It goes on from there, though. Listen to this. This is Exodus 32, 31, and 33. Then Moses returned to Yahweh and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves an Elohim of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And Yahweh said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now what's intriguing here is that Moses is actually, you realize he's offering himself? He's offering himself as an atonement for all the people. And realize, he's saying, to blot his name out of the book is like he never existed. Yahweh's answer is, no. Everyone will stand for their own sin. And for their own sin, their name will be blotted out. Numbers 16:45. Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment, And they fell on their faces. This is Aaron and Moses. Verse 46. So Moses and Aaron took a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and took it quickly to the congregation and made atonement for them. For wrath had gone out from Yahweh, the plague had begun. Now it's intriguing, is they're making atonement using incense from the altar. Now this is the altar that was actually at the transition from the holy place into the most holy place. This is not specifically always going to be the altar outside. The incense was given or provided at the altar going in. And if you get a chance to read this past week, you had to actually have incense burning prior to the priest going in, because the actual smoke had to come in and cover the ark so that when he would go in, he would then sprinkle the blood. But the incense had to be there and the smoke had to be there to cover so he would still be alive as he came into the presence of Yahweh. Now, interesting too, is that incense in Scripture represents intercession. It represents praying for someone. Okay? Look what happens. 16:47 and 48. Then Aaron took it, as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put the incense and made atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. That obedience, that being concerned for others and going out with this actual incense, in some regards, this is the prayer of Moses and Aaron in saving the people. It created a force field, if you want to use that as an example, around those he gave mercy. Thus, there was the living and there was the dead, and the dividing line between the two was the act of obedience and intercession. Key points for us to focus on. To atone means to cover in regard to Yahweh in a bigger picture. It's to blot out. We're going to blot out name or sin. It's really our choice in how we come before Him. Intercession creates atonement. Remember Moses goes up the mountain? You know what? He did not have an animal to offer. All he had was his life and his prayers. And they provided atonement because you know what? He gave them mercy and then he went from there with them. Moses offers self and his eternity. Realize if he offered that his name is blotted out, he is offering eternity out of the presence of Yahweh. Offer self to save people. These just start to sound familiar. Someone praying for people to create atonement, offering self for eternity in the place of the people. This should all start to sound familiar. Obedience and incense stand between the living and the dead. Let's go on to another puzzle piece. To cover has another meaning. Many words in the English language have multiple meanings. To cover, same thing. You go, well, I put on my covering, that's my coat or my jacket, because it's raining outside, right? But here's another thing. I go to a place and I owe them money. I don't have any. Someone comes and covers the bill. Well, you know what? They didn't go, there's the bill, let's put a blanket over it. Right? So this word cover has another meaning, and that covering is in regard to money. Or debt, specifically. Now, Exodus 30, 15 to 16. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half of a shekel. When you give an offering to Yahweh, to what? Make atonement for yourselves. And you shall make atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Yahweh to make atonement for yourselves. Now this money is in regard to the census. Now I want you to realize, if you are a part of the census, that means that you are going to go and your name is written. Your family is written down. And one of the things that's used as a word here is you are counted. You are counted among his children, his people. So the idea of a census is the idea that our names are being written in the book of life because we are being counted. And what it's saying here is that a price must be paid to be counted in that book among his children. Now, Numbers 1:1-2. Take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their father's house, according to the number of their names, every male individually, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war against Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And when they go through this, they talk about this offering as a crossover. It's one of the words in Hebrew. They're crossing over, there's a change. Now we got to be very careful. Can we go, you know what, I've saved up enough coins, I'm going to pay for my atonement? No. But you know what? Do you think we're going to get atonement if we don't give our life and heart to Him? Is there still a price in our life that we have to pay? Absolutely. But you know what? Most of the price is still going to be paid by someone else. Another example. Matthew 6, 9 and 12. Or 2:12. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, what I find intriguing is that it starts off with forgive us our debts. It starts with us. As we forgive the debtors. At Yom Kippur, the priest had to offer for who first? Himself. And it was an entire bull. All right, bull for the priest, goat for the entire people. That tells you how much covering the priest must do if he's going to provide atonement for all the people. But it must start with us getting our debts covered, forgiven. That's important to understand. So here's some thoughts. Price paid for atonement is counted among his children. Sin equals debts. Atonement or cover needs to be made for sin. There's no question in that regard. To cover a debt means to pay it for someone else. If you were in Israel, you didn't go in and go, you know what, I'm going to pay for my atonement this year. No, you are all dependent on that one high priest to go and make atonement for you. You are basically sitting back going, I have no power in this. I just hope Yahweh accepts his offering. That covering, that atonement had to be made. And you know what? This is a very hard thought for us to get in. You have the ability to provide a covering for others by how you live. even at the end of times, where he divides, interesting enough, the goats from the sheep. Did you cover me when I was naked? Yeshua is referring to the garden. He's referring to a shame of sin. Did you give me covering when I was naked? But to provide atonement for others, we must atone for ourselves first. And really, in that regard, we have to seek Yahweh to make atonement for us. It's always for someone else, except for that one high priest. So let's go to another piece. Leviticus 25, 9 through 10. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the day of covering, day of atonement. You shall make a trumpet to sound throughout all of your land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, each of you shall return to his family. Key points. What do we see? All debts forgiven. When is that trumpet call going up? Yom Kippur, prior to the Passover of the next year. Here's our call. Your atonement has to be made prior to entering the year, and now you're going to be coming back. And now you're coming back, guess what? To a land. A land that was given to your families by the count in the census. This is the point of being restored and fixed, all debts forgiven. Start over. And who provided it? Yahweh. Set free from your past. Restored, reconciled, renewed start in the promised land. Getting down to the last few pieces. Numbers 25:11. To be honest, we've already really spoken. If we're honest with ourselves, we've really been talking about the life of Messiah, right? He had to offer it. High priest, he has to offer it for us. This next one is speaking of Messiah that we wait for. Numbers 25:11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. He was so zealous to save the people. What did he do? Verses 12 to 13, therefore say, behold, I give him a covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his Elohim and made atonement for the children of Israel. How did he atone? He took the spear and he went after the sin and he pushed it through both the man and the woman, saying, this is sin and this is wrong. And Yahweh deserves righteousness. And by going and saying, I'm going to go do this, he made atonement. You know what? When those verses in Revelation that we're waiting for, or the prophets of the day of the Lord come, it speaks of his robes being completely covered with the blood of grapes. And those grapes are represented by the people that he had to harvest. There will be much blood spilled when that day comes. And that blood spilled will provide atonement for the innocent blood that was spilled. that innocent blood that cries out for justice. Because our Yahweh is not just a God of mercy, He is a God of truth. And truth means that you have to have the judgment to what went wrong. Key points. Atonement made by standing up for His truth, standing up for Yahweh's truth. Atonement is made by the priest. Even Phinehas was the grandson of Aaron. And he was given the priesthood forever to make what? Peace. What peace? Peace between man and Yahweh. And that peace only comes with atonement. Blotting out. Atonement brings peace between Yahweh and His people. Messiah ben David, judgment made for the other goats. At Yom Kippur, there are two goats that are chosen. And there is a casting. One is for Yahweh to be offered and given, and one, the scapegoat. And all the sin is put upon that scapegoat and is sent out into the dry places to die. Those two goats are not too far off from the sheep and the goats that are divided when Messiah speaks of the end of the ages. One as an offering to Yahweh, and one to be given as a sacrifice for sin. Not a big difference there. Leviticus 16, 29, and 30, speaking of the Day of Atonement, this shall be a statue for how long? Forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do not work at all. Whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you, on that day the priest will make atonement for you. To what? Cleanse you, that you will be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. Verse 11, and Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. 12 and 13, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire. We've heard this before. From the altar before Yahweh, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud of incense shall cover the atonement cover that is on the testimony, lest he die. Intercession must be made. You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about the night prior to Yeshua going to the tree that he spent in regard to the Gospel of John, praying for his disciples, praying for those who would follow their teachings. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle his finger on the atonement cover, mercy seat, on the east side, and before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Realize, by doing this, the blood becomes the actual blotting out. The blood becomes the ink. Because you see, if we sin, you have to die. To die, blood must be shed. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your what? Your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The life given. To summarize, atonement, blotting out, covering debts. Debt must be paid to atone and be counted among his people. Atonement must be made by someone else, a priest. Moses said, blot out my name. I hear Yeshua saying what? Father, forgive them. Interceding even then. Incense provides atonement and is a line between the living and the dead. Blood must be spilled in judgment to provide atonement for the soul. Must be. I have one last piece of the puzzle. Have you ever wondered why the greatest commandment is to love God and love our neighbor? Why is that the greatest commandment? We could say it's for a relationship. Maybe. But watch what the verse says. It's from Proverbs. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife. But love what? I'm going to put word atone. Love atones for all sins. Remember what Yeshua said? Forgive my debts as I forgive the debts of others. If we're loving Yahweh and we're loving our neighbor, you know what? There's a lot of love, and that means a lot of sin is being covered over. You're like, well, that's in Proverbs. Well, actually, Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. It says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. I wanted just to bring out tonight this idea of covering and blotting out. And I hope, as we close out, we have a better idea of atonement. We have a better idea of how Yeshua can make atonement. How Moses made atonement. How Phineas made atonement. Why at this time of year they say the books are opened. And a decision is made by the king. And the decision decides what is covered and what is blotted out. I leave you with this last thought. As in the next day we wrestle with our flesh as we afflict the soul. By the way, soul means our hunger and our thirst. And that hunger and thirst is more than just something to drink and something to eat. You're like, why in the world do we have to afflict our soul now? Why today? I think it's meant to make us understand. Yahweh started this entire process of creation giving one command. Control your hunger. Don't eat from this tree. What did man do? He allowed the hunger to consume him and he ate. And sin entered the world. Separation from Yahweh entered the world. Today, he gives us one extra command. Afflict the soul. To help us remember, why are we doing this? To help us understand his love for us. And that this atonement, this blotting out of sins, is a great release for us. But you know what? Yahweh needs people to make atonement. But it has to start with a person who's willing to give their life to do so. Are we willing to be able to cover the naked? That's a daily decision. Thankfully, it's in His hands to take us to the end and use us. But it's for us to be the sacrifice that's offered to Him. The one sacrificed to Him as a living offering day after day. Baruch Hashem. Bless His name.